Her voice rose to a scream.
I was trying to make you jealous, Simon screamed right back.
His hands were fists at his sides.
You're so stupid, Clary. You're so stupid. Can't you see anything?
She stared at him in bewilderment. What on earth did he mean?
Trying to make me jealous? Why would you try to do that?
She saw immediately that this was the worst thing she could have asked him.
Because, he said, so bitterly that it shocked her, I've been in love with you for 10 years, so I thought it seemed like time to find out whether you felt the same about me, which I guess you don't.
He might as well have kicked her in the stomach. She couldn't speak. The air had been sucked out of her lungs. She stared at him, trying to frame a response, any response. He cut her off sharply.
Don't. There's nothing you can say.
She watched him walk to the door as if paralyzed. She couldn't move to hold him back, much as she wanted to. What could she say? I love you too? But she didn't. Did she? He paused at the door, hand on the knob, and turned to look at her. His eyes, behind the glasses, looked more tired than angry now.
You really want to know what else it was my mom said about you? He asked.
She shook her head. He didn't seem to notice.
She said you'd break my heart, he told her, and left.
The door closed behind him with a decided click, and Clary was alone. After he was gone, she sank down onto the bed and picked up her sketchbook. She cradled it to her chest, not wanting to draw in it, just craving the feel and smell of familiar things, ink, paper, chalk. She thought about running after Simon, trying to catch him. But what would she say? What could she possibly say?
You're so stupid, Clary, he'd said to her. Can't you see anything?
She thought of 100 things he'd said or done, jokes Eric and the others had made about them, conversations hushed when she'd walked into the room. Jace had known from the beginning.
I was laughing at you because declarations of love amuse me, especially when unrequited.
She hadn't stopped to wonder what he was talking about, but now she knew. She had told Simon earlier that she'd only ever loved 3 people, her mother, Luke, and him. She wondered if it was actually possible, within the space of a week, to lose everyone that you loved. She wondered if it was the sort of thing you survived or not. And yet, for those brief moments, up on the roof with Jace, she'd forgotten her mother, she'd forgotten Luke, she'd forgotten Simon. And she'd been happy. That was the worst part, that she'd been happy. Maybe this, she thought, losing Simon, maybe this is my punishment for the selfishness of being happy, even for just a moment when my mother is still missing. None of it had been real anyway. Jace might be an exceptional kisser, but he didn't care about her at all. He'd said as much. She lowered the sketchbook slowly into her lap. Simon had been right. It was a good picture of Jace. She'd caught the hard line of his mouth, the incongruously vulnerable eyes. The wings looked so real, she imagined that if she brushed her fingers across them, they'd be soft. She let her hand trail across the page, her mind wandering, and jerked her hand back, staring. Her fingers touched not dry paper, but the soft down of feathers. Her eyes flashed up to the runes she'd scrawled in the corner of the page. They were shining, the way she'd seen the runes Jace drew with his steely shine. Her heart had begun to beat with a rapid, steady sharpness. If a rune could bring a painting to life, then maybe... Not taking her eyes off the drawing, she fumbled for her pencils. Breathless, she flipped to a new clean page and hastily began to draw the first thing that came to mind. It was the coffee mug sitting on the nightstand next to her bed. Drawing on her memories of still life class, she drew it in every detail, the smudged rim, the crack in the handle. When she was done, it was as exact as she could make it. Driven by some instinct she didn't quite understand, she reached for the cup and set it down on top of the paper. Then, very carefully, she began to sketch the runes beside it. Chapter 18. The Mortal Cup. Jace was lying on his bed pretending to be asleep, for his own benefit, not anyone else's, when the banging on the door finally got to be too much for him. He hauled himself off the bed, wincing. Much as he'd pretended to be fine up in the greenhouse, his whole body still ached from the beating it had taken last night.
He knew who it was going to be before he opened the door. Maybe Simon had managed to get himself turned into a rat again. This time, Simon could stay a goddamn rat forever, for all he, Jace Wayland, was prepared to do about it. She was clutching her sketchpad, her bright hair escaping out of its braids. He leaned against the doorframe, ignoring the kick of adrenaline the sight of her produced. He wondered why, not for the first time. Isabel used her beauty like she used her whip, but Clary didn't know she was beautiful at all. Maybe that was why. He could think of only one reason for her to be there, though it made no sense after what he'd said to her. Words were weapons, his father had taught him that, and he'd wanted to hurt Clary more than he'd ever wanted to hurt any girl. In fact, he wasn't sure he had ever wanted to hurt a girl before. Usually he just wanted them, and then wanted them to leave him alone. "Don't tell me," he said, drawing his words out in that way he knew she hated. "Simon's turned himself into an ocelot, and you want me to do something about it before Isabel makes him into a stole. Well, you'll have to wait till tomorrow. I'm out of commission." He pointed at himself. He was wearing blue pajamas with a hole in the sleeve. "Look, jammies." Clary seemed barely to have heard him. "Jace," she said, "this is important." "Don't tell me," he said. "You've got a drawing emergency. You need a nude model." "Well, I'm not in the mood. You could ask Hodge," he said, as an afterthought. "I hear he'll do anything for a—"
"Jace," she interrupted him, her voice rising to a scream. "Just shut up for a second and listen, will you?"
He blinked. She took a deep breath and looked up at him. Her eyes were full of uncertainty. An unfamiliar urge rose inside him. The urge to put his arms around her and tell her it was all right. He didn't. In his experience, things were rarely all right.
"Jace," she said, so softly that he had to lean forward to catch her words. "I think I know where my mother hid the mortal cup. It's inside a painting."
"What?" Jace was still staring at her as if she'd told him she'd found one of the Silent Brothers doing nude cartwheels in the hallway.
"You mean she hid it behind a painting? All the paintings in your apartment were torn out of the frames."
"I know." Clary glanced past him into his bedroom. It didn't look like there was anyone else in there, to her relief.
"Look, can I come in? I want to show you something."
He slouched back from the door.
"If you must."
She sat down on the bed, balancing her sketch pad on her knees. The clothes he'd been wearing earlier were flung across the covers, but the rest of the room was neat as a monk's chamber. There were no pictures on the walls, no posters or photos of friends or family. The blankets were white and pulled tight and flat across the bed. Not exactly a typical teenage boy's bedroom.
"Here," she said, flipping the pages until she found the coffee cup drawing. "Look at this."
Jace sat down next to her, shoving his discarded t-shirt out of the way.
"It's a coffee cup."
She could hear the irritation in her own voice.
"I know it's a coffee cup."
"I can't wait till you draw something really complicated, like the Brooklyn Bridge or a lobster. You'll probably send me a singing telegram."
She ignored him.
"Look, this is what I wanted you to see."
She passed her hand over the drawing, then, with a quick darting motion, reached into the paper. When she drew her hand back a moment later, there was the coffee cup, dangling from her fingers. She had imagined Jace leaping from the bed in astonishment and gasping something like, "Egad!" This didn't happen. Largely, she suspected, because Jace had seen much stranger things in his life, and also because nobody used the word "egad" anymore. His eyes widened, though.
"You did that?"
She nodded.
"When?"
"Just now, in my bedroom, after Simon left." His glance sharpened, but he didn't pursue it.
"You used runes. Which ones?"
She shook her head, fingering the now blank page.
"I don't know. They came into my head, and I drew them exactly how I saw them."
"Ones you saw earlier in the Grey Book?"
"I don't know."
She was still shaking her head.
"I couldn't tell you."
"And no one ever showed you how to do this? Your mother, for instance?"
"No, I told you before. My mother always told me there was no such thing as magic."
"I bet she did teach you," he interrupted, "and made you forget it afterward. Magnus did say your memories would come back slowly."
"Maybe."
"Of course."
Jace got to his feet and started to pace.
It's probably against the law to use runes like that unless you've been licensed. But that doesn't matter right now. You think your mother put the cup into a painting, like you just did with that mug?
Clary nodded.
But not one of the paintings in the apartment.
Where else?
A gallery? It could be anywhere.
Not a painting at all, Clary said.
In a card.
Jace paused, turning toward her.
A card? You remember that tarot deck of Madame Dorothea's? The one my mother painted for her?
He nodded.
And remember when I drew the Ace of Cups? Later, when I saw the statue of the angel, the cup looked familiar to me. It was because I'd seen it before, on the ace. My mother painted the mortal cup into Madame Dorothea's tarot deck.
Jace was a step behind her.
Because she knew that it would be safe inside these walls, and it was a way she could give it to Dorothea without actually telling her what it was, or why she had to keep it hidden. Or even that she had to keep it hidden at all. Dorothea never goes out. She'd never give it away.
And your mother was ideally placed to keep an eye on both it and her.
Jace sounded almost impressed. Not a bad move.
I guess so.
Clary fought to control the waver in her voice.
I wish she hadn't been so good at hiding it.
What do you mean?
I mean, if they'd found it, maybe they would have left her alone. If all they wanted was the cup.
They would have killed her, Clary, Jace said.
She knew he was telling the truth.
These are the same men who killed my father. The only reason she may still be alive now is that they can't find the cup. Be glad she hid it so well.
I don't really see what any of this has to do with us, Alec said, looking blearily through his hair. Jace had woken the rest of the Institute's residents at the crack of dawn and dragged them to the library to, as he said, devise battle strategies. Alec was still in his pajamas, Isabel in a pink peignoir set. Hodge, in his usual sharp tweed suit, was drinking coffee out of a chipped blue ceramic mug. Only Jace, bright-eyed despite fading bruises, looked really awake.
I thought the search for the cup was in the hands of the Clave now.
It's just better if we do this ourselves, said Jace impatiently. Hodge and I already discussed it, and that's what we decided.
Well, Isabel tucked a pink-ribboned braid behind her ear. I'm game.
I'm not, Alec said. There are operatives of the Clave in this city right now looking for the cup. Pass the information on to them and let them get it.
It's not that simple, said Jace.
It is simple. Alec sat forward, frowning. This has nothing to do with us and everything to do with your addiction to danger.
Jace shook his head, clearly exasperated.
I don't understand why you're fighting me on this.
Because he doesn't want you to get hurt, Clary thought, and wondered at his total inability to see what was really going on with Alec. Then again, she'd missed the same thing in Simon. Who was she to talk?
Look, Dorothea doesn't trust the Clave. Hates them, in fact. She does trust us.
She trusts me, said Clary. I don't know about you. I'm not sure she likes you at all.
Jace ignored her.
Come on, Alec. It'll be fun. And think of the glory if we bring the mortal cup back to Idris. Our names will never be forgotten.
I don't care about glory, said Alec, his eyes never leaving Jace's face. I care about not doing anything stupid.
In this case, however, Jace is right, said Hodge. If the Clave were to come to the sanctuary, it would be a disaster. Dorothea would flee with the cup and would probably never be found. No, Jocelyn clearly wanted only one person to be able to find the cup, and that is Clary, and Clary alone.
Then let her go alone, said Alec. Even Isabel gave a little gasp at that. Jace, who had been leaning forward with his hands on the back of a chair, stood up straight and looked at Alec coolly. Only Jace, Clary thought, could look cool in pajama bottoms and an old t-shirt, but he pulled it off, probably through sheer force of will.
If you're afraid of a few forsaken, by all means, stay home, he said softly.
Alec went white.
I'm not afraid, he said. Good, said Jace. Then there's no problem, is there?
He looked around the room.
We're all in this together.
Alec mumbled an affirmative, while Isabel shook her head in a vigorous nod.
Sure, she said. It sounds fun.
I don't know about fun, said Clary. But I'm in, of course.
But Clary, Hodge said quickly, if you are concerned about the danger, you don't need to go. We can notify the Clave.
No, Clary said, surprising herself.
My mom wanted me to find it, not Valentine and not them either.
It wasn't the monsters she was hiding from, Magnus had said.
If she really spent her whole life trying to keep Valentine away from this thing, this is the least I can do.
Hodge smiled at her.
I think she knew you would say that, he said.
Don't worry anyway, Isabel said. You'll be fine. We can handle a couple of Forsaken. They're crazy, but they're not very smart.
And a lot easier to deal with than demons, said Jace.
Not so tricksy. Oh, and we're going to need a car, he added. Preferably a big one.
Why? Said Isabel. We've never needed a car before.
We've never had to worry about having an immeasurably precious object with us before.
I don't want to haul it on the L train, Jace explained.
There's taxis, said Isabel, and rental vans.
Jace shook his head.
I want an environment we control. I don't want to deal with taxi drivers or mundane rental companies when we're doing something this important.
Don't you have a driver's license or car? Alec asked Clary, looking at her with veiled loathing. I thought all mundanes had those.
Not when they're 15, Clary said crossly. I was supposed to get one this year, but not yet.
That lot of use you are.
At least my friends can drive, she shot back. Simon's got a license.
She instantly regretted saying it.
Does he? Said Jace, in an aggravatingly thoughtful tone.
But he hasn't got a car, she added quickly.
So does he drive his parents' car? Jace asked.
Clary sighed. No, usually he drives Eric's van, like to gigs and stuff. Sometimes Eric lets him borrow it for other stuff, like if he has a date.
Jace snorted.
He picks up his dates in a van. No wonder he's such a hit with the ladies.
It's a car, Clary said. You're just mad Simon has something you haven't got.
He has many things I haven't got, said Jace. Like nearsightedness, bad posture, and an appalling lack of coordination.
You know, Clary said, most psychologists agree that hostility is really just sublimated sexual attraction.
Ah, said Jace blithely. That might explain why I so often run into people who seem to dislike me.
I don't dislike you, said Alec quickly.
That is because we share a brotherly affection, said Jace, striding over to the desk.
He took the black telephone and held it out to Clary. Call him.
Call who? Clary said, stalling for time.
Eric? He'd never lend me his car.
Simon, said Jace. Call Simon and ask him if he'll drive us to your house.
Clary made a last effort.
Don't you know any shadow hunters who have cars?
In New York?
Jace's grin faded.
Look, everyone's an Idris for the Accords, and anyway, they'd insist on coming with us. It's this or nothing.
She met his eyes for a moment. There was a challenge in them, and something more, as if he were daring her to explain her reluctance. With a scowl, she stalked over to the desk and snatched the telephone out of his hand. She didn't have to think before dialing. Simon's number was as familiar to her as her own. She braced herself to deal with his mother or one of his sisters, but he picked up on the second ring.
Hello?
Simon?
Silence.
Jace was looking at her. Clary squeezed her eyes shut, trying to pretend he wasn't there.
It's me, she said. Clary.
I know who it is.
He sounded irritated.
I was asleep, you know.
I know. It's early. I'm sorry.
She twirled the phone cord around her finger.
I need to ask you for a favor.
There was another silence before he laughed bleakly.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding, she said. We know where the mortal cup is, and we're prepared to go get it. The only thing is, we need a car.
He laughed again. Sorry, are you telling me that your demon-slaying buddies need to be driven to their next assignation with the forces of darkness by my mom?
Actually, I thought you could ask Eric if you could borrow the van.
Clary, if you think that I... If we get the mortal cup, I'll have a way to get my mom back. It's the only reason Valentine hasn't killed her or let her go.
Simon let out a long, whistling breath.
You think it's going to be that easy to make a trade?
Clary, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I just know it's a chance.
This thing is powerful, right? In D&D, it's usually better not to mess with powerful objects until you know what they do.
I'm not going to mess with it. I'm just going to use it to get my mom back.
That doesn't make any sense, Clary.
This isn't D&D, Simon, she half screamed. It's not a funny game where the worst thing that happens is you get a bad dice roll. This is my mom we're talking about, and Valentine could be torturing her. He could kill her. I have to do anything I can to get her back. Just like I did for you.